words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen. Amen.
Good morning. Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside. They're asking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? I suspect Mark gets our attention this morning with these words. Jesus is at work again near his home, and he's crowded by his followers. Crowded by those who are seeking healing, by those who want to hear his teaching. And there are also those in the crowd who have come to discredit Jesus, those who have come to question him, to lay the groundwork for his destruction. And so Jesus' family arrives to restrain him. The translation we just heard says that this is because people were saying that he had gone out of his mind. But other translations put these words in Jesus' own family mouth. It's important to remember that in Mark's gospel, there is no birth narrative. There's no story of the angel Gabriel visiting Mary as a young girl. No Mary and Joseph traveling to Nazareth. No wise men visiting the baby Jesus. Jesus arrives on the scene in Mark's gospel as a grown man. And so this is the first time that we meet Jesus' family in the Gospel of Mark. And they are not there to support him or adore him. Mary is not cajoling Jesus to turn water into wine for the wedding feast. Instead, Jesus' mother and brothers and sisters have come maybe to protect Jesus from himself. And so, they are, in their part in the story, something like those religious scribes who have come from Jerusalem to associate Jesus' acts of healing and power with Satan. In their context, a man gone out of his mind and a man possessed by the devil were of one kind. So if you're like me, this gospel is compelling because the topic of family is powerful. There's a preacher, William Willimon, who tells of a Bible study group at his church when he was a young minister, and they were discussing the Ten Commandments. And Mr. Willimon expected that this would be sort of a straightforward conversation because he thought these are the unexplained absolute commands of God. We all agree it's wrong to kill, he said, expecting everyone to agree with him. And someone raised their hand and they said, yes, except if my family was threatened, I would kill. If my family was hungry, I would steal. And Willimon wonders, how does the American family bear that weight? Can our families bear the moral and spiritual weight that we are putting upon them with that reason? Because we put tremendous value on family in this country. like they did in Jesus' homeland. So much of our lives are about family. Parents are so important to the flourishing and the growth of children. We are so important to one another. And so the family unit is primary for us, like it was in Jesus' times. And today, like then, there are very few things that we place ahead of family. And yet, there is a lot of hurt and a lot of damage that happens in our families. I wonder how many of us here today had parents who loved us and yet did not know how to love us. How many of us had mothers or fathers that loved us and could not show that love the way they would have wanted? How many of us are still healing from those wounds? In seminary, I worked at a parish in the West Village in New York City. And the congregation was St. Luke in the Fields, which is predominantly gay and lesbian. And it struck me the first time that Mother's Day arrived, how muted that day was in any reference to mothers. And I wondered about this to my supervisor, and she gently, kindly reminded me that for many folks, particularly of a certain generation in the LGBTQ communities, there are deep wounds of broken relationships with mothers and fathers. And so Mother's Day and Father's Day are treated gently. Jesus replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." Mark's version of Jesus' homecoming challenges us with God's radical impartiality. Jesus refuses to privilege even his mother and brothers and sisters, much less those religious leaders whose authority gives them position and rank, leaders accustomed to being treated with deference. Jesus does not privilege even his own flesh and blood who have come to talk to him, maybe to ask him to temper his teaching, which could get him into trouble. Maybe they knew about Jesus' power and had a different vision for who he was to be as the Messiah. And Jesus says to them and to all who were in that crowded house, "This is my true family. My sisters are those who love sinners. My brothers are those who take care of lepers. My mother My mother is the person who can embody God's compassion for someone who looks like they don't belong. And Jesus' redefinition of family is enough to make us stop cold when we consider God's radical indifference to rank, to position, to claims of privilege. If Jesus' little sister does not have that privilege, do we dare to think that simply by being Episcopalian, Christian, American, that we have it made in God's eyes? There's a scholar who writes of this gospel that Jesus upends our conventional assumptions about what is real. And he upends them not to change them for change's sake, but so that we might reconsider just how they can be authentic manifestations of who God is, how God can be known. For God's will to be known by us in the particularity of our lives and our relationships. So I think the good news of this gospel is that we do belong to God's family. We declare in baptism that we need this family. We need our parents and brothers and sisters and cousins by blood and by the Spirit to help us live into our identity as followers of Jesus. So our mothers and brothers and sisters and fathers are the people that we are related to by blood, and they are the people that we break bread with. They're the people that we pray with and serve with. Our brothers and sisters live in Honduras and Lexington, in Lawrence and across the globe. And we are called to love each other with an outrageous and holy love, a love that has been handed down to us by our Savior and brother, Jesus Christ. Amen.